Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
Guess I ought to look at chat, huh?
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good day, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Hope everyone is doing well today. I was out for a couple of weeks. It's, I guess, good to be back. It's nice to be gone, but I'm back, so... Anyway, with me today is a couple of good friends of mine, Terry Dodd, and he's going to be doing the first hour with me, and my friend John from Connecticut's going to be on the second hour. So anyway, we'll be talking about current events, I guess. Again, glad you could make it. I hope you're well, and I don't know. It was, like I said, good to get away for a couple of weeks, but I don't know, a lot of turmoil. I think it's all scripted, but I guess we'll talk about that a little bit today. Anyway, without further ado, Terry, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. It's a crazy world we live in, and it's going to get crazier unless a lot of people stand up.
Yeah, stand up. You haven't been with us for a while. You were doing... Ultimate Remedy for a while with me, but you got busy doing things, which is good. It's good to stay busy in this world that they're trying to, you know, they're trying to put small businessmen out of work or out of business and keep people broke and give them, you know, stimulus money so they're dependent on the system. But anyway, my attitude is the more I watch these Democrats, the more I know they're diseased. Their minds are diseased. And accordingly, that spills over into Republicans, too. But what are your thoughts on that? I know you didn't want to talk about the divide and conquer measure of the Democrats and Republicans, but I don't know.
Well, that's just a smokescreen, and it always has been a smokescreen. To keep people distracted and the old Panamets or census, bread and circuses, that's keep people entertained and thinking that they're in some kind of competition and that they can be on one side or the other. And really behind both of those are the people that have been in control. But
what's your attitude on
the present situation?
I said, what's your attitude on that?
I believe Catherine Austin Fitz nailed it in a recent interview she did with a dark journalist. She said, and I'm summarizing here what she said, but she said that their intent is to control the electromagnetic space of everyone on the planet. Now, people are wondering, what the heck is electromagnetic space, right? It's involved in everything. Everything has its own frequency, and we are being played, and our frequencies are being messed with. Our DNA, the whole idea here is to create antennas out of every person so that they can literally track them. And manipulate them, and that's where it's at. I mean, the masker serves so many different purposes to condition people's minds, to elevate our friend Mike Getty, who's always talking about the Swifts. The government operates from fear and force, and if they can't carry into something, they'll force you into it. And that's basically what's going on right now. They're making a big play with this pandemic. You know, this has been planned for a long time. We know that it goes back to 1983 with the Rockefeller Foundation. They've been participating in that process in Marie Layout, the Event 201, and planned all of this out, and this is exactly the way it's playing out. But what they're doing is that they're trying to get these vaccines into people, and the people that have participated in these tests some of them have had facial paralysis. Some of them have had neurological damage. You know, obviously, sterility is a part of it, but the big part of it is tracking people. But they're dumbing them down with the mask. They're cutting people's oxygen, and it makes it a lot more docile and less able to operate from an efficient cognitive level, and designed just to identify viral load. It doesn't isolate a virus. To increase the fear factor so that they can say there's more cases. But the truth is, the test is a false positive for the most part. It's all deception. But it all comes back down to them wanting to control everybody on the planet. And I hope I didn't go through that so fast that I didn't have a syllogistic connection. But that's really what's going on. And it leads back to the banksters. It leads back to the Privy Council, the so-called royalty in China are all connected. All of these things are connected. And it all leads back to the same people. And they've been trying to get the United States to be back part of the British Empire. All roads lead back to London, basically. Even the roads through China lead back to London. They've controlled our patents, our technology. They've set up basically the CIA We've got a lot of domestic enemies, and those domestic enemies are controlled by big money. And again, the big money that's come out of China all leads back to.
Hey, Terry, you're drifting. Your signal's drifting really bad. Can you stand on your head or something? To improve that, or
is it better now?
No. Do you have problems with it generally, or
no? I don't. I was walking around, but
yeah, it's probably it's probably your headset or your Bluetooth or whatever. So it sounds better now. So you might want to get a new Bluetooth, what you were talking about. These guys controlling the energy around us is messing things up. Anyway, you sound better now.
If they can put a tracking device in everybody through a vaccine, the only thing that'll save humanity is the fact that the vaccine will kill a bunch of people.
It already is, from what I understand. Two people in Australia died, or was it England? And they're staying sick as much as 3 weeks after they got the vaccine, or their side effects at least, including the most major one, I guess, is they can't sleep. So that's nice, you know. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sensitive than others. The 5G is being put into place to facilitate this control. They need that, and it's the radio sensitive people and people with other complications, physical complications, the 5G can help inflame those other physical adverse conditions And so we need to put a stop to 5G. I'll tell you that now. But people have got to stand up and recognize that this whole thing is a fear-based plan to control. So we got to stand up in every way. We got to say, I'm not wearing a mask. We got to say, I'm keeping my business open. We can't let them take over the economy the way that they've already done it. I mean, they've already started a global food shortage. They've interrupted supply lines. It's a very scary situation we're in right now, and if people continue to sit on their couch and think that somebody, even the great Lou Dobbs and what he said yet in the interview with Sidney Powell here.
Yesterday, I think it was. Wasn't our day before.
Oh, man, that was a powerful interview, but people can't sit back and believe that and leave it up to anybody else. Everybody's got to get off their butt, and they've got to stand up to this and say, I'm not living under fear. I'm not going to accept your tyrannical edicts. You don't have the authority to do that. You certainly don't have the authority to control me, much less the states don't have the authority to control the counties or localities. And the local people have got to stand up. They've got to push back against every bit of this tyrannical crap. And that's what it is. It's lies. It's false science. It's all about fear and force, and we cannot live in fear. And if people want to live in fear, then push them out of the way, and let them know that you're not going to live in fear. That's what we got to do.
I said years ago that people weren't willing to give up their Social Security numbers. You know, when I gave up mine about 25 years ago, it wasn't mine. It's the government's. I don't use one. I don't use it anymore and then I corrected my nationality. So as a matter of law, it can't even apply to me. So, I said to myself that if people aren't willing to start back then, they're going to go along with the program whenever they institute it. And it seems like everyone has, for the most part. There are very few people that don't wear masks, that aren't scared, you know, in their basement and things. I've lost friends here locally, you know. It's pretty sad.
Well, in the area where I live, most people are not doing it out of fear. Most people do not use them in my county except when they're forced to, because they're being told they can't go into a store, they can't do what they want, they're trying to be respectful.
You know,
we've all been conditioned to be good, obedient serfs, and even if they're not in fear, they don't want their life restricted to where they can't do the things they want to do. And if getting through the door at Costco requires a mask, they wear a mask, even though they don't see the sense of it.
But that's where it takes a bunch of people working together. In a committee or whatever you want to call it, locally, to force the issue with these people. Each individual is going to have real trouble getting anything done, but I've been pushing that concept for 10 years now, and no one's interested in it.
Well, I believe
back in the 90s.
The protests need to be a lot bigger than they are.
Yeah. Back in the 90s, we had blog groups all over the United States, and those have disappeared. I mean, no one's interested in that. I think it's the TV and the free internet stuff they get, entertainment, that keeps them away from doing other things. And you've seen what Twitter or social media has done to people.
We got to keep it simple at this point, you know, nobody's going to be participating in law groups at this point because it takes too long. People just need to understand that you're being lied to, and we got to push back or else we're going to lose control of our lives. We already have lost a lot of control. We've already been living in a slave kind of situation where the fear has driven us. But it's time now to to stop living under fear and refuse to be forced. And it's real simple. We're about to lose all of our rights because by abdication, because not enough people are standing up, not enough people are pushing back. I'm looking at the in the chat room right now, and I'm like, Gerbear 11 here is Barr has not went with the fraudulent voting paragraph. Well, Barr is a part of the problem.
Yeah, I believe he is.
You've got anybody that's come out of the Council on Foreign Relations or a senior executive service or has been a part of the deep state in the past, they're part of the problem. And they're going to act like they're doing something, yet they don't. And because of these delays, it's allowed these things to happen. A lot of these people that are in these positions of control should have been in jail and being prosecuted at least 2 or 3 years ago, certainly before the midterm election. So, you know, Lolly says, I'm not scared. I'm sick of the BS. Well, what BS are you referring to? You know, what?
Yeah, what portion or what segment of it?
There are some folks who have become so cynical and so distrusting that they don't even trust the people who might actually be trying to do something. I look at the situation with Trump, and I want to have faith in the guy, but when he starts talking about warp speed and having the military give people vaccines, you know, I can't trust somebody talking like that.
Is it the military actually? I've heard it was the National Guard. Not that they're kind of considered the same, but National Guard is more state based.
They all fell under the joint. They all fall under the Joint Chiefs at this point.
Right. They play this game that the Constitution's still in order, but it really isn't. It was overthrown with Reconstruction and. No one wants to talk about that either. I've been trying to get people to understand that for 20 years. Of course, you know, what makes me sick is the media. You know, Fox does a little bit of good, but all the other ones are just, they're criminals as far as I'm concerned. They're traitors.
Well, we all know that News Corp is a part of the globalist groups. I mean, they've allowed them to do what they do, and even the good players on there are used to some extent in order to support this left-right debate and to keep the it's controlled opposition. Even those that don't believe or know or want to be part of the controlled opposition are allowed to go out there and do some of this as long as they don't. Get into talking about chemtrails or the head of the snake, they can be controlled opposition all they want because it supports the Hegelian dialectic and the Panametra census.
Yeah. So speaking of which, I guess Newsmax, for example, has kind of gotten better ratings than even Fox this last week.
For the first time, they passed them.
But the unfortunate thing is our friend John Breeson has done the research, and Henry Kissinger is involved with Newsmax. So that fits right into what I believe is that the Democrats are being done away with or being thrown under the bus.
I've had problems with Newsmax since day one. And One America News isn't too bad, but, you know, God only knows who's behind that, too.
There's Right Side News or whatever it is. I forget the name of it exactly, but
Kissinger answers to the Queen. He has sworn his fealty to the Queen. That's where he's always been a British agent. I just heard Michael McKibben, who is a head of Leader Technologies, who is
Satan.
quite a historian, but he was actually the one that developed the original. He and his group of engineers developed the original software for social media.
And who's this now? You faded out.
Michael McKibben.
Okay.
He's the head of Leader Technology, and he lost his lawsuit on the patent infringement because what happened was is that Serco, out of again a British group that manages our patent office, is tied back in with the CIA. So when they got his patent information, they turned around and went back through DARPA and CIA and developed it for the government as a data farm. It was called LifeLog, the program was. And on the same day that that program, LifeLog, was terminated, Facebook was launched. So everything was handed, all of the software and patent development from Leader Technologies was handed to Zuckerberg with Facebook and set up and run by the CIA from day one. So, I mean, there's no surprises here if you get into the history of it. But McKibben didn't know all of this when he set it all up, but he's had to learn it because of the lawsuits that he had to file for patent infringement. He went back and researched and got into the Privy Council, understanding that how Canada is controlled by them and that even the Chinese are controlled out of London. And, you know, the City of London, what's called the City of London, which is the banking capital, also known as the Crown. You know, he had to research this. So they've got a lot of the connected the dots that goes all the way back to the head of the snake. And you get into the Pilgrim Society, for example, is a group that's behind all of that. And again, it comes back to the banksters, the Rothschilds and all of them who have intermarried with the so-called royalty. And it's a very nepotism situation. But it all leads back to the same place. All of this leads back to the same place. They control Big Pharma. They control all of our movie production studios. They control all of the information flow and media. It's all works together, and people have got to understand that what we're facing is not natural, and it's not the health threat that they've conditioned people to believe it is. The overall deaths are down in 2020 versus 2019. We have not had an increase of death rate. So, I mean, everything is false information. People got to wake up and stand up and say, I'm not taking this crap anymore. LB, you still there?
Sorry about that. I muted my mic. I got a virus threat while we were talking here. And my other guest for second hour is on early, so I'm going to bring him on at the bottom of the hour, and he can join us. But anyway, in regard to what we mentioned with the media, and they're in on it. And, you know, I said to myself, there's two different worlds running right now. And it's very odd to experience that. And you said that Trump seems to be going along with the program. And what I see is the old system being torn down or, you know, done away with. And we're getting closer to the synagogue of Satan and the Europeans running things, and they're getting rid of the old, you know, American capitalist, for lack of better words. And the synagogue of Satan's going to be closer to running things, is the way I see it. But I predicted that, you know, 20 years ago. Of course, I went over it in my book. And the Democrats are, to me, useful idiots and being thrown under the bus right now. And they're making way for the new America, which will be a total deception as far as I can see. The only thing I am positive about, if these so-called Trumpers will listen to people like Mike Gaddy and myself and, you know, others that have maybe done the research, that it's all a facade. you know, and it might look good up front, but the end game is not good as far as I can see. But what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm just giving them. People can't rely. We cannot wait for somebody else to do something.
Yeah.
We've got to say, okay, no more fear-mongering here. I'm not going to take it from the media. I'm not going to take it from politicians. I'm not going to take it from Republicans either. The Democrats are just one of the tools of these people, but there's many on the right that are tools of them too. Mitch McConnell.
There's no doubt. Well, they've been controlling things a long time, and they don't want to lose their power. The one person that infuriates me is Pelosi. She's just pure evil, and not to mention stupid.
Well,
it's unbelievable she's in power.
These people have been put in there by these globalists. They're Luciferians. We're in a spiritual battle. Had a conversation with a county commissioner that's term limited that happens to be a really good guy on our show on Block Talk Radio last night. It was an excellent conversation, and boy, did he answered every question that Mike and I threw at him. Was really, really candid. It was an awesome show. But he really exposed a lot of things, and this goes all the way down to the local level.
Yeah.
People are supporting the concepts that the money is bringing them. They're all being bought, even if they don't know they're being bought.
Yeah. With that, we have a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My friend Terry Dodd is on with us, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork. I have two of my good friends with me today. Mike Gaddy could not make it, nor could Dolphin Dave, or as he goes by, what is he go by? I don't know. Anyway, Dave of Scorpio Conspiracy Show, and also John Breeson couldn't make it. Everyone's busy, not consenting, I guess. But I do have an old friend, Terry Dodd. I've been talking with him for years, and also John from Connecticut. He just joined us for the next hour and a half. Terry's going to exit at the top of the hour, but we're just talking about general BS, I guess you would call it right now, and what people need to do. John's been with me on and off, well, kind of like 20 years. Terry, how long have you known about PAC?
How long have I known about what?
People's Awareness Coalition.
Probably about 12, 13 years.
Yeah, so yeah, I think John's been with us at least that long, solidly. By the way, how are you, John? I presume you're there.
I'm well. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound good.
Good. Yeah, no, hi, Terry. I've been actively with PAC for 12, 13 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been aware of PAC since its founding in 2000. So,
right, 98 is when PAC was founded, but it got on net about 2000, which is sketchy these days. You know, as far as everyone's gone to social media, which is infiltrated by these people. Terry was talking about last segment. But anyway, I guess you were listening, John, so you're kind of up to speed what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want to continue, Terry, with what you're saying at the bottom of the hour?
Well, people got to understand that this goes all the way down to the local government. There's in Colorado, there's a thing called Dr. Cog or Cog, Council on Governments. It's basically the various counties and municipalities that set up like a corporate board, if you will, that kind of oversees how the money gets redistributed. They'll take it in, and most of it will go out of the local hands, and then will be decided on how it gets redistributed. And a lot of these problems, a lot of these people that are power hungry and career politician kind of people get into these positions where these council on governments, and that's the way that one of the ways that these globalists reach all the way into the local communities, and people really need to be aware of the kind of control that special interest and money has all the way down into their local communities through that sort of thing.
Yes, Agenda 30 or 2030, as they call it now, is part and parcel of that. It seems like they've reached into the local community over going through the federal government. There's theories out there. It's been talked about that they're the power of the federal government might dissipate a bit in the future. I don't know if that's going to be true or not, but it's sure a mess one way or the other. So we'll see how that plays out.
One of the things I find fascinating is how the states have actually taken or adopted portions of Agenda 2030, where the federal government has not. at least on its face. And it strikes me as though there's a constitutional problem there where you have the states. It's not exactly a treaty, but they're adopting. I don't know, prescriptions from a foreign body, right. Outside of the scope of and their own authority through the union.
So. Yes. Now that you mention that, the Constitution does state that states can't enter into compacts unless they're allowed to by the federal government or Congress.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. Has that been proven or done? Either one of you know?
I'm not aware that there's been any approval. I mean, often what happens is that you get and I've seen this at more local levels where you have a state that says, okay, well, if cities and towns within a state want to adopt certain rules or certain attributes, they can do so, and the state outlines what they are. But the cities or towns don't have to do that. They don't have to sign on to them. But if they do, then they're.
John,
yep. What's that?
Are you familiar with ICLEI? ICLEI, does that ring a bell to you?
It doesn't. Well, maybe it does.
ICLEI. Is the acronym for, that's where I get the term ICLEI. It actually stands for International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives.
All right.
That's how the UN has pushed its sustainability program into local communities to bypass the federal government. So what you're saying back for pushing it into local communities.
Yeah, exactly. So what generally happens is the federal government can do the same thing where they say, well, we have adopted statute that allows the states to buy into or adopt these policies and or these agendas. But if you do so, then you have to, there are requirements for doing those kinds of things, according to statute. But, yes, I having looked it up, yes, I am aware of this. I just wasn't,
the acronym,
the acronym didn't mean much to me.
If it's been, it sounds like it's been approved by the federal government. So that's where the constitutional provision is accepted.
Okay,
but it's voluntary, like you both said, right. Pursuant to each
the federal
state.
Government tries to put strings on putting money back into the state and county and municipalities, and they have tried to put the same strings on that are being pushed through the United Nations, and so they don't call it that, but they disguise it in a different way, particularly through this sustainability and. You know, the whole green movement thing is just another way to deceive people into pushing them off of lands, putting more people into smaller spaces, and making it so that they can have an easier way of controlling them.
Do you think Americans will be in cubicles like they are in, I think, Japan or China has these cubicles in the cities? So I wonder if that's going to happen.
No, I think they've overreached, and I think the American people, particularly in rural areas, are smart enough to know that they're not going to let them do that to them. And I think that they're about to get the pushback. We've all got to we can't sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. But I believe that if enough of us sound the alarm at this point and get people off their butts, I think that we've got them outnumbered. They're way outnumbered. Globally, they're outnumbered. They're even outnumbered in people in China. So the people have got to rise up in those kind of numbers in this protest to shut this down and give them the kind of pushback to stop it. And I believe it's going to happen because they've accelerated their plan. They've overreached and people are waking up. And we've been fighting. How LB, you and I and Mike and all these others have been fighting for over a decade, in some cases multiple decades, to get people to wake up. But the one thing that's going to wake them up most is the overreach of these globalists and how they've now really put people where they're going to be more painful to not do something than to do something. And if you look at the words of that Jefferson and a few others put into the Declaration of Independence, they predicted that. They were so prophetic, and some of them were, particularly the Anti-Federalists, were so prophetic in predicting things. And right in the Declaration of Independence, it says that people are more inclined to sit back and not take a stand against this stuff until it becomes painful.
Yeah.
When it becomes more painful for them to sit back than it is for them to stand up, they'll stand up. Well, this overreach is creating a situation where the pain level is sufficient that people are now going to rise up in numbers. And I believe it's happening.
Yeah, it's on the brink of that. But as we stated, it seems like Trump's going along with a lot of these things that are happening. And I still, in the hope department, believe that he could be pushed in the right direction when it comes time or immediately it should take place. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that it's all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. And that's a pretty it's a pretty wise statement, right? That they knew that these things, your customs and habits are difficult to shed if all of a sudden, or not of a sudden, but gradually, like the boiling frog, they've been twisted to enslave you. And I do sense that there is an awakening of people. People are have become aware that at least more people have become aware that the government is not doing things for them, and they're learning. I think, particularly through this election,
yes,
process, that that there are specific people who are acting against their best interests, and they're finding out who those people are, and gosh, if it could be one governor, it could be more, or one state legislator, or one state attorney general. So I think they're wising up a little bit.
I wonder what percentage of Mormons are now aware of Mitt Romney's corruption.
Good question.
It's a good question. But I hate to use the phrase devil's advocacy here, just because I think about this stuff a lot, I wonder, it looks like Trump isn't doing much in terms of, fighting the cabal and the globalist, global Marxist forces. On the other hand, I think it would be, if it were me, I think it would be foolish to take them on head on. Right.
Right.
I mean, you can't do all of this stuff without having some kind of a tactic, and so I just, put it out there and say, look, what it looks like maybe is not what it you know, what it is necessarily. It might be exactly what it is, right? You know, my feeling is I've watched the president troll the media and his detractors for 4 years now, and it's pretty funny to watch that, you know, they think he's kind of dumb, and they make fun of him, and he says certain things, but he gets them to do exactly what he wants them to do, right, in the end, and ends up having the last laugh, you know, very often. So I wonder if that kind of attitude isn't being taken to a kind of a larger arena here. And I can't say that it is, because I certainly don't know, but I just want to throw that out there as a kind of a brain exercise, you know, a thought experiment.
That gets back to what I said about the hope.
Certainly,
go ahead, Terry.
He has certainly made manifest the level of corruption.
Yes.
I want to believe the best of him. And if he wasn't pushing the stupid vaccine, I would feel a lot better about trying to support him. But and I believe that he told Kissinger to take a hike. I think Kissinger walked in there in that meeting and said, look, you need to win in the world here, and that, you know, you're not going to be able to resist this, so you might as well cooperate. And it's my understanding that he told Kissinger to take a hike. And I'm surprised that it took him until just here in the last month to knock him out of the Pentagon.
Well, that gets back to what I was saying. I think he would do the right thing if he had the backing. And for sure, what I've seen of these rallies, you know, there's been upwards of 60,000 people at these rallies.
I know.
And that's just phenomenal, you know. And like you said, Terry, a few minutes ago, that there's more of us than there is of them. And once people start organizing and knowing the truth, I think there is hope for a better world. And again, like you said, people have to do it. I've said this for years. Being Trump or even someone else, if they try to do it themselves, they'll get knocked off. And as John inferred a minute ago, that the same thing, you know, you can't do it all at once, or, you know, you're going to get knocked off.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful in someone in the president's position to do the right thing. So it's a sticky, you know, wicket, as they say.
It was interesting because I saw there was a picture that was taken, I think, in the Oval Office with all the military brass around him in a big semicircle, back in 2017. And somebody had taken that picture, and they'd crossed off all of the faces on that photograph of the people who had been fired. And there weren't a lot of people left over.
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe seven or eight, I think.
Yeah. And I thought that was rather
telling.
All the
rest of them are gone.
Yeah.
Right. It was actually posted on Q boards on 8chan and stuff.
Is that where that comes from?
Yep.
When was the photo or that cross off done? Years ago? You said 2017?
Well, no. So the photograph was taken in 2017.
Okay.
But the cross off, I think, was done recently.
No.
You know.
So it was just representing.
It was a comparison of the people who were there at the beginning of this term, and the people who remain at the end. Is all.
Yeah, I believe the military is totally involved in all this. And Terry mentioned that, you know, people are just doing their job. We've all heard that one about evil doings. I'm just doing my job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about
orders.
The paycheck. Yeah. which is unfortunate.
Well, I've also heard that there are, you know, the Navy's out with their carriers in the Atlantic and Pacific. There's one off the coast of Connecticut here, and the thought was anyway that they looked like they were being prepared to repel an invasion of some kind, and the site which a friend of mine generally uses to track military movement went down a little while, or was just turned off.
You're talking to Ellis, the Ellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Is that what you're talking about?
Likely, yeah. I don't know which
that,
site it
that
is.
That just happened. It's,
yeah.
An F-16 went down the other day. I think it was an F-16 in Wisconsin.
It's been a huge assembly.
Can you say that again, Terry?
Yeah, you're breaking up again.
John, there's been a huge assembly of military force that's been assembled in, I think it's Ellis Air Force Base in Nevada.
Okay, interesting.
Fort Hood is being gutted, too, of sexual abuse and things. The last few days I noted, which is interesting, too. So I don't know if the Trump administration had something to do with that or what's going on. But there's definitely some things going. You know, we've heard about these Q things. I know you were watching that for a while, Terry, and I think John was too. I kind of looked at it but didn't really follow it, and I don't think either one of you two really followed it. But it sure seems like some of it's true.
I see it as I see
there's
it as,
no question about it.
You're drifted, Terry. You're not coming in.
There's no question it's a psyop, okay? The question is, you know, I'm staying right here, so it's really more a matter of, I believe when somebody else is trying to talk at the same time I am, it's, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Q is a psyop, but also psyops are not bad. They have three audiences. Q has always had three audiences. The people that they're trying to wake up, the people that are already awake, and the enemy, those that they're working against. The Q operation, whether you believe it or not, it has caused a lot of people to start doing their own research, which is the globalist downfall is when people start really opening their eyes and doing everything about kids. So Q has acknowledged that disinformation is a part of the Q operation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Q predicted it happened. A lot of that wasn't really from other anonymous posters on the 4chan and 8chan. It wasn't Q predicting some of those things. It was other anons that were predicting them, not Q. And so Q got blamed for that. So it was denigrated. But when you're watching something like that, Let me say this. I follow a lot of things that I do not accept 100% of. If I don't follow a lot of different things and use discernment to pick up information, just because somebody says something that's wrong or that I don't understand or that is disinformation, deliberate disinformation, it doesn't mean you shouldn't follow them, because right now we need all the information that we can get and use proper discernment. I use the Ruach HaKodesh. I know they have access to the Holy Spirit. And if I don't try to operate on my own all the time and really risk listen to that still small voice, it really helps my discernment.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a gate that lets good information in and keeps bad information out. So I don't expect any information source to be 100% accurate all the time. It was really another funny thing that Catherine Austin Spitz said in that really good interview that she did at Dark Journalist. She said, if you're trying to get your intel, you're toast. Let that one again for a second.
Well, I agree, Terry, exactly. I think, I've always taken the position that that Q was a reality, right? And that as such, it needed to be taken into any calculation or any equation that that I used to discern what was happening in the world, mm-hmm. Just because it needs to be taken into account. It takes discernment to figure out what it is to listen to and what pieces to put together. But that takes, that's a matter of experience and finding, trusted voices around you that can help guide you.
Yes. Well, we're out of time for this hour. Terry, thanks for joining me or us. And we'll be in touch, and you have a great weekend and be safe.
Nice to be with you, Terry.
Nice talking to you, John. Later, LB.
Yep. Take care. We'll be back in about 3 minutes after the station announcements for hour two. Stay tuned, folks.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork, your host today. I want to thank everyone for joining us and thank Mike Gaddy for taking over the last couple weeks. And also for The Ultimate Remedy, which he filled in for on Tuesdays. Really appreciate it. He couldn't make it today. He has trouble with home stuff, so he's working on that. And John Breeson's busy. He should be back next week. Dave Scorpio will be back also, according to what he told me a little earlier. And I was a little confused about Dave last hour when I was introducing him, because I think he changed his program name. He's no longer Scorpio's Conspiracy Corner. It's something else, and shame on me for not looking at what it is. But anyway, this is Revolution Radio. Thank you for joining us. It is listener supported, so if you could help us out with a little donation, go to the website at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Those two URLs will get you to the donation button. Also, there's Patreon. I think they're still accepting Patreon donations. And also, there's all the snail mail at the bottom of the page. You can send a check, money order, or whatever you choose. Piles of gold to Terry in Michigan. Michigan. What a mess that state is. Anyway, I apologize not to... trying to make Terry depressed, but it's really a mess. Anyway, this hour I have John, my old friend, with me. Thank you for joining me at the last minute, John.
That's my pleasure, LB.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Operation Scorpio, I think is what he's got there.
Oh, the new program? Thank you.
Yeah, the new name, yeah.
Yeah. Leave it to you to know over me.
Well, I'm here on the chat, and I just scroll down to take a look.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, no, I don't mind. I'm not perfect. And I certainly don't keep up on all things, so shame on me.
No, shame on you.
Yeah, shame on me. Shame on my bad habits. Anyway.
You remember George W. Bush messed that one up? You know,
oh, yeah.
Once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on... Well,
something
the point
like
is
that.
I can't be fooled twice.
Yeah.
You can't
I made me. A meme on that one.
That was super funny.
Yeah. I can't be fooled until my brother shows up, I said, or something. Something like that. So what have you been up to? Not to get into your personal life, but
well, you know, I just, as we were talking off air, yesterday, I have had technical difficulties with, technology.
Yes.
So that's been a big bother.
Yeah. Same here. So,
mostly that's what I'm wrestling with, but, that and you know, and like everybody else, the kind of, you know,
the world.
The depression of stupid people everywhere.
Yes.
Conforming for the sake of conformity, and not thinking.
Yeah, I came out with a campaign before I got kicked off Twitter of the stupids, and it surely is that bad. It's gotten worse, I think, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Although I have to say. I'll say this, there are people out there who, you know, sometimes surprise you. So I've had to see my dentist a couple of times during all of this madness. And I get to walk into his office and breathe the free air. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't bother me about it, and nobody says a thing, and it's all good. And I had to go get my emissions tested for my car this morning, and I did the same thing. Walked in there. There's no sign on the door. You know, my take is that if you want me to wear something in your establishment, you got to provide me with one.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to work, and nobody seems to give me a problem with it. So I wasn't bothered again today either. So that was good.
So that's a good day, I guess. Yep. You would call.
That's a good day.
I don't go to too many places where I have to bother with that. And I usually don't wear a mask.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin being one of the bad states, during this election, they're not too bad in this area, but the people, when they're driving around in their car with mask on, I just have to shake my head.
It's ridiculous.
But that's just stupid for you. Yeah. Unfortunately, I have a friend that does it, and last couple of weeks, as I've been off, I was thinking about how much I, can put up with that anymore. It's really, I'm sure there's a lot of division and separations of friendships and things that are going on with the aware people and the stupid people right now throughout the United States and the world.
Mm-hmm.
But yep. I guess that's the way it is.
Sadly, I think people need leadership. I think there are those of us who don't need leaders. I recoil at somebody saying, president, leader of the free world. I'm like, if he's the leader of the free world, then it's really not a free world, is it? Because, just by definition. But I think that I don't need a leader. What I do need is an administrator, someone who's going to administer, the important aspects of government. And that's it, right? And I think one of the problems is that, Article 1, Section 8 just doesn't lay it out plainly enough what the purposes of the government are. And it leaves a lot to be interpreted, which is our basic downfall,
That's what Mike Gaddy has a problem with, the loopholes that are there, or back doors, if you want to call them that.
Yeah. Well, I concur with both of you that it was an intentionally flawed document.
Sure. Right?
They had to appease. I mean, I think this is, it kind of relates to what we're talking about with respect to Trump, that, there was a revolution just fought, right? And there were the Articles of Confederation, which seemed to be working relatively well, except that the federal government had difficulty getting funded by the states. Like the states were, like the UN, the states were holding back funding for it, and or NATO in that case too. So what they did was they wanted to make a transition document that could sort of move the ball, in the direction that they wanted to move it in, but they couldn't let the whole cat out of the bag. So so we got all these they tried to pass it without a Declaration of Rights, and they got called on that. So they watered down the rights from. By the way, I love that show that Mike was on, talking about
the
you know, the
Bill of Rights of Virginia, I think.
Yeah, the Bill of Rights of Virginia. That was a great show. I love that.
Right.
And so they watered those down. But, you know, they sort of gave lip service to a lot of stuff and started to tell people that this document gave them rights, right? When it didn't. what it did was try to, shackle the federal government, right? from overstepping its boundary, or at least that's the way it should have been. but what my point here is that they couldn't go too far with the initial document, but they knew that if they left some back doors open or some loopholes, that they could come in, you know, in an incremental way, in a progressive way, they could alter the whole thing, which they've managed to do pretty well. I think it was difficult, you know, it was tough going at the beginning, though there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff right at the beginning with Jefferson and Adams. It's clearly the Civil War, so-called, loosened things up a lot for them, which clearly as we both know, was I think a staged event, right? Or not staged, but a catalyzed event, one that was fostered, so in the same way, right, giving Trump some benefit of the doubt, he can't let on his strategy too much.
Right, right.
And he can't take too big a step, and he's got to make sure make his adversary think that they're in control until he is able to take it away from them. And not suffer consequences too dire. Right. So that's the way I see it anyway.
That's kind of the way I see it too.
Yeah.
Did you happen to read that chaos document?
Oh, you know, no, I haven't read it. Let me pull it up though.
Yeah, not that we have to talk about it, but it's just a one page synopsis of, you know, the last 50 years or so, what's going on with the system. And, I may mention that I believe Trump could be pushed in the right direction, like I mentioned last hour, if he had the backing.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about last hour with Terry, I think strides have been made to improve things. And it's really a strange thing that what's going on. There's definitely, shit being stirred, for lack of better words, with, you know, the people that have been in control in Congress and government for a while now. And some of these people, that, like I mentioned, Michigan, that's just a total disaster. The people in control there, of course, there's New York and California that are just as bad, but... interesting thing that I had noticed about these four swing states that are getting sued by Texas right now.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has an interesting story, and Michigan being one of the corrupt states that seem to believe that you can do whatever you want, the law doesn't matter, and that holds true for all these states that are being challenged by Texas right now. And, you know, I think it's up to 20 other states.
I think you're right.
But Michigan, all three of the governor, attorney general, and secretary of state are all women there. And
in which state?
In Michigan.
In Michigan, yeah.
That's the anomaly there as far as Marxism goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've discussed before, I believe women in politics is part of Marxism. And I'm not saying women are all bad. They're just victims of circumstance like we all are in some respect of this whole program called World Communism, or they're calling it now the Great Reset. They just keep changing the word, the titles and names of things, but it's the same program that's been in operation for 500 plus years right now, is my belief. You know, it's been around thousands of years, but excuse me, the new chapter, so to speak, or the new age is being implemented right now. But the people, those women are just evil.
They are.
They are. But anyway, Wisconsin, not that there's corruption there, but Wisconsin was the first communist state after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
It was founded in 1848, the same year the Communist Manifesto was written, and the 48ers came over, the 1848ers came over from Europe, and most of them settled in Wisconsin and started communist programs here. I think the Eugene Debs Law School, or not law school, but labor school, excuse me, was founded in Milwaukee, for example. And a lot of communist activity happened early on in Wisconsin. I'm surprised their flag wasn't red.
Yeah.
It's blue. But beside that, as you know, all the planks of the Communist Manifesto are applied in the United States one way or another. But then you have Georgia, which the Georgia Guidestones appear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another, state that's mentioned in the suit and evil. And Pennsylvania, which was the Constitution state, right?
No, it's the Keystone State.
Keystone State, but the Constitution, yeah. The Constitutional Convention was held there, is my point.
That's correct, yep.
So you got all the four of these states that have something going on as far as, the whole program of New World Order, as we just mentioned. Mm-hmm. The Constitution is part of the New World Order, and as we've discussed on this program, in my program, and in my book, that the Constitution was the foundation of this whole program. Articles of Foundation or Confederation are the foundation for a lot of it, but they accelerated the program under the Constitution. Of course, my book, The Red Amendment, goes over the 14th Amendment, which is just an acceleration of it and, more progress into the program back in 1860s during the Civil War and Reconstruction. So
that's right. It was the way in which they could actually get the Americans to be directly under the jurisdiction of the federal government, of Congress.
Right. They pulled the people of the states into the jurisdiction of Congress.
Yeah. Sadly, the one thing that people just seem to refuse to want to wrap their minds around. They seem to think that everything was done to them. And yes, this was done to them, but it's something that they themselves now have to unwind, or else it just stays this way.
Right.
Right. As I'm constantly arguing with people, who say, well, it wasn't ratified, or it wasn't, it's fraudulent, and therefore it's fraudulent. And I say, well, if fraud is being committed against you, it's your duty to stand up and call it out, and to rectify it, right? And to challenge it. And I said, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to be silent, then you're going to appear to consent to it and participate in it. So, there it is. It's interesting because this relates to when I first started to tuned into the show, and you and Terry were talking, and one of you said something about. There's just, they're kind of two things going on, you know, diametrically opposed.
Yeah, there's two worlds.
There are two worlds happening, and
yes,
and I see it as being the the manifestation of the in a weird way of the dual system of law that's in place, right? There are those who I mean, that's not to say that people understand that, but that that there are those who are looking, they're actively searching for, you know, for a remedy that they don't understand. And those who, you know, because what they want is they want to be left alone. They want to live their lives as they see fit and not get messed with, right? Not be prescribed, have their lives prescribed by the government, which happens at every today at every level.
Yeah, that's what socialism is basically authoritarian rule.
Yeah, and what you've got now is people who are looking to escape that, and versus the people who are fearful that it's going to be that other people's stuff is going to be taken away from them. Right. Yeah. You can't stop this. You know, you can't change our Marxist life because our Marxist government, because then I won't get your stuff. Well, you know, there's the battle right there.
In a good sense, referring to what you just mentioned, the governor of South Dakota, for example, is just the polar opposite of this witch that's in Michigan, you know. Yeah. So you got those two worlds there, kind of. But like I have said in my writings and whatever, the whole system's communist, the way it's set up. But you have people that are less authoritarian than others.
Right.
And that's an example of it. And it's interesting that there's that diversity, you know, that's happening at this time.
Yeah, I, as you know, I used to be a libertarian of sorts, and one of the things that libertarians used to say was, you know, what government program, you know, if you don't like the big government, what government program are you willing to do without, right? You know, get rid of,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's still a worthwhile question to ask. You know, what aspect of which plank of the Communist Manifesto? I mean, to put it in better terms, what plank of the Communist Manifesto are you willing to dismantle, right? In order to improve your life and everyone else's, right?
Right.
I think it's a good question. And the movement, the freedom movement, for lack of another term, what it really needs is some introspection, right? People need to take a look at themselves and see how, and be honest and see how they have contributed to the Marxism that they protest every day, right? You know, if they went and read your book, they could see how they could go about, you know, dismantling or repenting from that, from that participation in the system. You know, I do run across a lot of people who say, oh yeah, I'm free, I'm you know, independent of the system and all that, and I don't participate. You have to let them go, but I'm like, you know, I doubt it for the most part, you know, that there's some facet of their lives that is supporting this system that they protest, you know, whether it's
it's hard not to.
It's hard not to. And I'm not saying that just because you do, because of the nature of the system, that you're bad, or that you're wrongheaded, because you're not necessarily. But it's about finding that commonality with other people. I think, and looking within oneself and saying, how have I, in the course of my life, how have I helped perpetuate this system that enslaves other people, including myself, and how can I go about repenting from that? And that's the first step. Not sure it's a 12-step program, but.
Maybe it should be.
But maybe it should be.
Right. Repent's an interesting word to use, I guess. But as far as I'm concerned, people that are involved in the system are sinners. I wrote that other paper called Your Marxism.
Yeah.
And I talk about people sinning in the paper. And there's seven deadly sins that, as far as I'm concerned, most Americans practice. And, it's all part and parcel of Marxism.
Yeah.
As far as the planks of the Communist Manifesto, I've seen the public school is the biggest one people have trouble letting go of. Not that you shouldn't have a local school that, like the old schoolhouses in the old days that taught the community. But the public school system, that was one of the last planks of the Communist Manifesto that was instituted into the federal government in the early 1970s. And it took over the education of the United States in a way everyone's taught. So anyway, we got a break. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's L.B. Bork, and I'm my friend John from Connecticut with me this hour. Stay tuned, got one segment to go. Be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name is L.B. Bork. And I'm back. Was gone a couple weeks. Again, I'd like to thank Mike Gaddy for taking over. It was a good sabbatical I had. Anyway, got another half hour, so stay tuned. We'll be talking about this and that. Got my good friend John with me. Where were we, John? Anyway,
my short-term memory is just it's just shot these days.
it's terrible, you know, man.
Hours run into hours, and days run into days, and weeks and months, and I'm lucky if I can turn around and know where I put my head, you know.
Well, I know where my head is at most days, but it's pretty disgusting because, like I mentioned last hour, that we used to have law groups in all the states, or quite a few of them, but that seems to have dissipated. I don't know what people are doing these days. Some of the people I've kept in contact with are ready to pick up guns and start killing people. But of course, People's Awareness Coalition is 180 degrees against that because it's stupid.
Yes.
But as I see that's what they're trying to start. I mean, that's what they wanted for a long time because they can make major advances into their revolution, you know, revolving evolution of the New World Order when chaos ensues. So,
well, see, I think this is one of the things that's one of the anomalies of Trump is just that. I think I certainly expected to go to war, regardless of who got elected. You know, I figured that. Iran or Russia. I mean, Hillary was banging that drum like there was no tomorrow, and they banged that drum even after she lost, and yet, gosh, there's no war, right? And if you see, you know, if they've been using war to advance their purposes and their control, they've either been unable to, or they've found another way to do it. I just find that it's an interesting anomaly. You know, the most, you had Obama, who was supposed to be the most, peaceful and transparent president. And he was actually one of the most warmongering presidents of recent times.
Yes.
Bombing the hell out of seven countries in the course of 8 years and killing tens of or hundreds of thousands of people. And we have a president who's done the opposite of that.
Right.
which I find fascinating, just as a fact, right? Not that I know what to make of it.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, if you look at what Mark said, he said there'll be peace in the world as soon as the world accepts socialism. And we're right there for the most part. So all these peace treaties that Trump's imposing or, you know, putting in place remind me of that, you know, so that doesn't mean too much to me, but.
Yeah, well, we have no idea what these quote, what these peace treaties actually entail, say, right?
Yeah, but, I haven't read them. They're good either way. I can't denounce that. I mean, killing people is just ridiculous. But my point is that they could be progressing the program.
Yeah,
and I wrote that in that document that I asked you to pull up or that you read.
I just read.
Asked if you had read. So anyway, sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say
No problem. No problem. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you there. No, it's a pretty straightforward piece here.
It deals with the last 50 years. My whole concept or belief, based on observations, is they're using the Hegelian dialect. A lot of people have been saying, I forget who said it, but some say that Clinton is where things started, but the last 50 years, and it's, which is mentioned in the paper, and I'm not going off what they've said, it's what I've observed, that the last 50 years or 40 years, they've let the Democrats, they've given them enough rope to hang themselves.
Yeah.
And as far as the New World Order goes, I think it's planned opposition. I think, you know, if you look at what Trump's doing, that's what I believe is going on. They took things in the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They took things to the far left to make things look ridiculous. And they're reeling it back in now under mm-hmm. Trump to make it look like good things are happening. But really, the New World Order hasn't stopped. But it looks good, you know. And they're just, you know, most of the world thinks that communism is based on totalitarian dictatorships such as China,
yeah,
or Cuba, Russia, when it was claimed to be communist. But that's not what I believe communism is. It's the planks of the Communist Manifesto applied. And like I said, and said for 20 years now, they're all applied in America. So it's a big scam, basically. And what they're doing is you know, making, I believe China is going to be the new Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't go physical, as you kind of noted with the Navy
yeah.
guarding the what do you call them? Two ocean.
Yeah. The coasts.
The coast. Yeah. So who knows what's going to go on with that? The soft thing would be a Cold War with China. And that's what I predict, have seen and estimated for a while now. And you can see it building.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. But it's still the same plan. They've been calling it the Great Reset right now, I think, is their mm-hmm. new term for it. But nothing's changed. It's all the same. You just change the names or titles of things.
Yeah, well, and I think in this case, it's the Great Reset is specifically about an entirely new global monetary system.
Yes, a new economy,
and a new economy, right? Run again by, you know, the world elites, but moving the center of power away from, you know, Wall Street and or even London, and moving it to Hong Kong, possibly.
It may. We don't know.
Or Beijing.
Yeah, they've been collecting a lot of gold for whatever reason.
Yep.
China has.
Yes.
Which is, you know, when I got into the movement, and a lot of people in the Patriot movement believe gold and silver backed currency is the way to go, but I don't believe that. It's always been an elitist, way to control the population. So it's, paper money is not that bad. It's who's controlling it. Or if there's interest being drawn on it is the problem.
Yeah.
And the way it's handled, who's doing the bookkeeping for it is the problem or the thing you have to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when, they put the Federal Reserve Act in place in 1913, of course, the so-called world bankers had control of the contract and they're getting paid interest for printing money, which is ludicrous. That's, you have to be an idiot to follow that program or, submit to that.
Well,
but that's the main problem.
Yeah, well, when there are only two or three people in Congress who are voting for that on Christmas Eve,
Right. I don't see how that works.
Yeah.
I should ask Mike what he knows about that because not having enough representatives in Congress to pass something like that is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't.
Ridiculous.
I don't see how not having a how you can't have a quorum for that sort of thing.
Right. Well, people keep saying, "Well, it's the 16th Amendment." I go, "Well, 14 comes before 16, dummy." <Yeah. laughs> So they've already accepted an unlawful government, so they get to do what they want, as far as the Constitution goes, and whatever they pass.
Well, one of the things I like to, because it's easily pointed to is, in the Constitution, the establishment of the federal district, it's Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, and it's the district is outside of the Constitution, right? The Constitution exists within the Union, right? And it has jurisdiction within the Union, but since D.C. is technically outside the Union, it's not a state, it's not party to the Constitution, therefore, it can't be. It can't be held accountable to the Constitution, at least as it's written or established. That everything that happens in D.C. Occurs under that clause, and is therefore outside of the jurisdiction of the Constitution. It's what I call, it's not unconstitutional, it's extra constitutional, because there's that back door that allows the sort of the bad actors to play their little games, right? So they bring people into the jurisdiction of the federal government, which is in the District of Columbia. Now, this has nothing to do, obviously, with the district itself, except for the way that it was established by the Constitution, and so all they're doing is administering the people within that jurisdiction, which is has nothing to do actually with the boundaries set by the Constitution. So, again, for Americans who want their remedy, the remedy is to expatriate from that jurisdiction, to leave it, and to be a state person, because as a state person, you're squarely in the jurisdiction under the Constitution and the Constitution of your own state, and not, you know, having to be subject to the whim of Congress and its extra constitutional acts. You know, I don't know I mean, it seems all pretty logical to me, but it's a difficult point to get across.
Yeah, it's a whole new contract for people in America. That's why I call it the Communist Association, the federal citizenship under 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
It's all private law that pertains to certain people and as 14th Amendment citizens.
Yeah.
It's really as simple as that, as taking back nationalities, which is something that's described in the Communist Manifesto as the destruction or doing away with borders. The way most people have heard it, a borderless world. And it's doing away with countries and nationalities. And that's what my work centers on, and no one really addressed it until I did back in 2000 with the Red Amendment. So Mike Gaddy said a few weeks ago to me, oh, it'd be easy. Everyone should just stop voting. Yeah, it would be that easy. People have said for years, just stop paying your income tax, which is plank two of the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
And but you're not going to get everyone to do that. So everyone's going to be picked off one at a time.
Yep.
Through prosecution and whatever, property taken. Right. Which people think they own, but they really don't, because it's all they're all constitutors based on this Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, which says that public debt shall not be questioned. And by the way, I heard recently that 25% of the so-called public debt has been assembled in the last 5 years. And it's going to keep accelerating until we get into extreme hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of this great reset that's going on. Anyone that thinks they own anything, it's going to get taken away from them. And, you know, having your status correct gives you at least legal standing to fight all this, but no one's interested in it because they like their, you know, high-speed internet and whatever else they got going on. Which really isn't part and parcel of, you know, status. Someone made mention of the all cap name in chat. And the all cap name is kind of a red herring, so to speak. The all cap name is just reference to being under the civil law system of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, it's a symptom of the problem.
Symptom of the problem, right?
Yeah, it tells you it's a sign that there's a problem, and so you have to solve the problem in order for the symptom to go away, right?
The all cap name is just kind of a reference to the Roman civil law, which if you go back into Roman times, there was no lowercase letters.
Right.
Everything was all cap, including the letter U being V, which is weird. But yeah, it's just indicator of what you just said.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I've seen cases where people argue that, and the prosecutor will go, okay, we spelled it in upper and lower case. Let's continue with the case, you know, the prosecution. So
yeah,
it means really nothing.
Yeah, it's the tail wagging the dog. Well, let's cut off the tail because we don't like the tail wagging.
Yeah.
But, you know, the dog is still there moving his muscles. So, it might be worthwhile saying to anybody who's listening that you know, the status correction is something that the People's Awareness Coalition does, and it helps, well, or helps you with, guides you through. And for anyone who's interested in you know, in looking into that, you know, you can contact, you know, go to packalliance.us /contact. And there's phone numbers and addresses and things. You can contact the coalition through there.
I've been trying to get people to correct their nationality for 20 years, and most people don't want to because they love their Marxism.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
It would be an awakening to people right now, and I think the time is now that people should start doing that, and that would help reverse the damage that's been done.
Agreed.
And like I've said, Trump has been doing things that address world communism, but as far as American communism, there's nothing being done to fix that.
Right.
That I've seen.
Yep.
I don't know if he doesn't get it, or, you know, I know a lot of people don't get it or understand it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, I just say the 14th that, you know,
Amendment's a problem.
Yeah, well, the president can only do so much by himself,
right?
And it's really up to us to do the rest of it.
Correct.
You know, and it starts, a level playing field without communism, exactly.
I saw some representative woman. By the way, I don't have anything against women unless they're evil, like the woman in Michigan, for example. It seems like there's a lot of Marxist think people out there, and they're just socialist in nature, you know, so they want to tell people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you know those people.
Well, I've taken to calling my own governor here from in Connecticut, the self-appointed tyrant king.
Right. The authoritarian mind, you know.
Yeah.
They just think that most of these New World Order people think they know better than everyone else. And I realized about 10 years ago that I didn't have a people. And it's becoming more apparent with these mask wearers, you know, that I think the Amish communities are the closest thing to what America was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's available today, but they're even leaning towards Trump, but for whatever reason.
Well, they live a communal lifestyle, but they're not.
But that's communist. not to be confused with communism.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so they see the, they see the writing on the wall, with options that are other than Trump.
But I was in a community or area where the Amish even are pro-Trump.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, they're kind of mixed up. They need People's Awareness Coalition really bad, but you know, it's hard to get people to listen after they're into their customs and usages for so long. But anyway, Thomas Jefferson basically thought Americans should be living like the Amish are, agrarian lifestyle. Of course, the Industrial Revolution happened, and that was done by rich industrialists, and that's who basically took over. And they used communism to benefit their program. Which was, you know, that was its intent. When I read the Communist Manifesto, I said this is nothing but a blueprint to destroy middle class and create a workforce for the elite under the ruling class. So, but, you know, most people don't follow that narrative because they're told this bullshit unicorn narrative through the law schools and higher education and whoever's gotten a hold of it, or has this utopian world that's in mind, and it was nothing of that, to do with that. It was to do exactly what I just said, to destroy the middle class businesses and put all the profits in the hands of the elite. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on with America right now. They're getting rid of American useful idiots, and the more centralized world people that are in control are going to be controlling things, unless this is fixed.
So I know we're going to be
we got about a minute left.
Yeah, we're going to be jumping off soon, but I just want to say I noticed an interesting thing yesterday, and I don't follow the stock market, but as a general rule, but I just happened to notice what was going on, and all of the kind of the big indexes fell yesterday. Mm-hmm. Except for I think it's the Russell 2000, which actually jumped by a significant amount by comparison. Mm-hmm. In comparison, and the reason I bring it up is that the Russell 2000 really is a measurement of smaller businesses, right? It's not the Dow, it's not the S&P 500, mm-hmm. it's not the Fortune 500 companies. It's the second and third tier. And
out of time, John.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that if that trend continues, that may actually bode well for smaller businesses. In
sure. That's good news. Yeah. Out of time.
Thanks, LB.
Thanks, people. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.